shores of El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And coming up tonight, this is here on the El Pacifico now, Saturday morning officially, although I know it's been Saturday for some time for our friends and neighbors on the East Coast. Coming up tonight at 7 Pacific, it is our local show here for Los Angeles, and you can join us on Phil TV and HD if you'd like and watch it here. If you are listening to audio, I'm sure it's going to be on iHeart someplace, which is really an amazing new invention. It's not an invention. It's an app, basically, and it's a way of accessing all of these marvelous radio streams and consolidate them into one nice, concise package. And I'm told that this is the future, and I'm very, very grateful that it's the future for the very, very smart and sharp and ever so neat and cool radio executives out there that have found yet another way to use radio talent and not pay them.
Hey.
I knew you were going to get to it, man. You didn't think I was going to sit here and just talk glowingly, did you?
You're going to get in trouble.
Get in trouble for what? What is it that I'm going to get in trouble for? Am I lying? Am I lying? Am I telling a lie? Am I saying something that isn't true? I happen to know it's true. How do I know it's true? Because nobody can tell me that that isn't true because I am a radio talent. I'll put that in quotes in case somebody wants to dispute it. You know, figuratively speaking, a radio talent. And I know that my radio show goes places that I never knew that it was supposed to go. Nobody ever told me. Nobody ever said to me, by the way, Phil, we're going to take your show, and then we're going to put it in this little kind of warehouse, this sort of resourcing center called iHeartRadio, or whatever the hell else is going on, and then we'll take it, and we'll just blast that sucker all over the universe, and you won't get any extra money for that. Now, I know that many of you out there are saying to yourselves, what's wrong with that? We do it all the time, Phil. We give our work away all the time. Why don't you?
Well, I don't think they're saying that.
Oh, they're not? Oh! Hell, I thought that's what happens in America. You go to work for a guy, and let's say you make things for this guy, and it turns out that the stuff you're making for that guy, well, it's actually going to another guy, and 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 there's a whole bunch of guys that are benefiting from the work that you're doing, but you only get paid by one guy. Now, in America, and I love this country, don't get me wrong, but only in America. Only in America. Only in America is that guy taught to believe that he's insane if he complains about that. Only in this country, only in the warped manner in which we think in this country, is that considered kind of weird and commie. Every other country in the world, where, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they've had labor movements and labor issues far longer than we've been around. Europe is as old as time, so is Asia, and they've been dealing with work. If it wasn't for the Black Plague in Europe, we wouldn't have something called the individual contractor, believe it or not.
But
you didn't know that, did you?
What are you talking about, the Black Plague?
You didn't know that the Black Death of Europe was essentially what gave rise to the tradesman, did you? The individual tradesman. What essentially ruined the feudal system.
What are you talking about, feudal system?
Well, I'm not going to go into it, man, because it's a big, long explanation. The point is, after the when the plague hit and all these cats were dead, man, I mean dead, 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 Red, they were dead, right? There were millions of them, and there were no workers. There was nobody to do any work. There was nobody to repair the castle. There was no one there to repair the moat or whatever the hell they had, you know, the drawbridge, you know?
Yeah, probably they had to repair, like, the tower.
Yeah,
when they had a tower.
Yeah, sure, they got to repair the tower, whatever. So they needed cats to do that, and they couldn't just go and draw upon their feudal serfs. These people were living in a kind of indentured servitude. This is a kind of slavery. Well, they couldn't just go out and find one, because guess what, man? They're all dead. They're in a pile somewhere, Jack, ready to get shoveled into a big hole. There were millions of dead people all over Europe. So the guy that survived, the workman walking down the road one fine summer day, when the Black Plague had finally gone from Europe, and here's a guy walking down the road, he's whistling a happy tune, he's on his burro or his horse, And he has with him, he has his hammer, and he has his saw, and he has his tools. And this guy is, all of a sudden, he is about to embark upon a new adventure that would give rise to others like him. This guy is a worker, and not only that, he could go to that castle, and he could say whatever the hell they said, you know.
Probably something, you know, like, good day to your squire or something.
Yeah, like a Earl or something, like, hello, Earl. Yeah, sure, hello, Earl. And, hi, Earl, my name is Bob. You Earl? Funnier than what you guys have been talking about.
Whatever.
Anyway, yes, sir. I am a tinker by trade.
What's that?
I don't know, but let's just say the cat says I'm a tinker by trade. He tinkers, you know. Yeah, well, I need some stuff done. Oh, that's real nice. It's great that you need stuff done. Don't we all? I tell you what, man. Well, how much are you charging me? Well, let me think of it. See, all of a sudden, the castle guy, the squire there in a castle couldn't say, hey, listen, you lousy serf, get in here and fix that clock or whatever the hell. Get in here and cook me some waffles. Now he had to negotiate. Well, now ain't that something? I've never had to negotiate before in my life. I always use these feudal guys. You know, like, well, you can go out and try to find a feudal guy. You got any? Nah, they're all dead. Yeah, I'll bet they are. I bet you need them buried too, don't you? Yeah, it's starting to stink. Say, how much would you charge me to? Well, let me just go ahead and enter that into my computer, too. I do it all, man, baby. I got it all down. Don't worry, Mr. Squire, sir. I'll bury those dead guys out there in the backyard. I'll fix your moat. I'll fix anything you got, man. I'll do anything you want, but it's going to cost.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to say that. The squire would run him through.
Oh, get out of the squire and run him through. Look, man, reality is reality. And when life hits, there's only one thing to do. You got to deal with it. And that's what happened. And that gave rise to the working class in Europe, and that gave rise to the individual tradesman, the individual contractor. Many unions began to spring up because workers had power. The point that I'm making here is when the Black Death murdered off and killed off all these millions and millions of people, there were no more workers. Workmen and work was a premium. They had to find people to do work, and they had to deal with them now. They couldn't just tell them what to do. They had to deal with them. They had to say, how much is it going to cost me? The things that we're all familiar with today, there's nothing wrong with it. Today we pick up the phone, we call a guy, how you doing? I'm a plumber. Yep, I need my bathtub fixed. You got it, baby. How much is it going to cost? Well, it's going to cost this, this, and this. All right, thank you. And we negotiate, and we find the best price. This is common now in the world, but there was a time when that didn't happen. There was a time when everybody was tied to a feudal arrangement with a squire or a lord. It was very primitive. And now, so where are we in radio? Well, guess what? Guess what? You're not going to believe this, but radio is still operating in a quasi-feudal way. It's very funny, and they will laugh at you. And one of the ways that radio management has always dealt with these issues is just to laugh at the town. Why, how silly. But it's true. I got friends of mine that are so scared crapless, writers, journalists, radio journalists, real hard-hitting people, people that consider themselves to be real hard-ass, real tough. They're so scared of the suits in this business. When these guys, when they finally sit down to write an article about the actual financial reality of the broadcasting business, they suddenly notice that they got to go to the bathroom, they become incontinent, they got to put on their diaper, and next thing you know, hey, they didn't write the article. That's how scared they are. But in radio, we do have a feudal arrangement, which means this. Hi, Phil. Hi. We'd like you to be on, you know, our network and everything, and I'm not blaming the network now, but your radio show is going to go to these stations. And by the way, you can use the feed for your internet. And okay, great. That's great. Thank you. You're welcome. Oh, by the way, I guess, you know, they're picking up the feed and putting it on iHeartRadio. Is that, I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that. Oh, and another thing, they're taking it and they're on another thing. And there's another thing. There's about 19 million different things out there. They're grabbing it and sticking it on that feed. And then they're putting it out there into outer space. And everybody's getting, you don't mind, do you? Yeah. You do? Yeah. Well, I only ask to be polite because there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. People listening to me right now are saying to themselves, well, I don't get it. Well, I understand you don't get it. But when it happens to you, you'll get it. You'll get it. Now, you probably don't think in your world how that could be applied. But let me give you an example. You're a lawyer. You prepare a brief. You prepare for trial. You prepare for a meeting of some kind, negotiation of some kind. Okay. There's another lawyer who works down on whatever street, and he needs a brief, and he needs some preparation too, you know. And he needs to have this for his big firm. And so what they say to you is, that's great, you got that for that? Yeah, I do. Well, we're going to take that and use it for our thing too. Well, wait, what are you talking about? Well, you're not going to use it for that. We're using it for that. You're using it for your thing. Right. Well, we're going to use it for our thing. But I worked on that. I did that. It doesn't make any difference. That doesn't happen in the world of lawyers. But that's precisely what happens in broadcasting. You're a doctor. Yes. Did you just, you're doing open heart surgery right now for Mr. So-and-so. Yes, I am. Well, next door there's a guy that needs some open heart surgery, so get in there and do that too. Well, wait a minute. I get paid. No, you don't get paid extra. What are you talking about, get paid extra? Get in there and do it. And you guys are saying, oh, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's exactly what happens in my business. Doctor wouldn't stand for it. Lawyer wouldn't stand for it. None of you guys would stand for it. It happens every single second of every single day of every single week of every single year in the broadcasting business today. Guys like me, and I'm not talking about myself because I'm in a way better shape than most broadcasters, kids that are starting out, young broadcasters, you go in there and voice track for about 600 stations and we'll pay you $200-$300 a month extra. I mean, literally, they're going to do voice tracks for how many stations? Well, another 500 stations. You know, we're a big company. We've got 9 million stations all over the planet Earth, and we're putting some on Venus, and we got one on the moon, and you're going to do voice tracks, and we'll throw you a couple of bucks. Well, I'd like to negotiate. What's that again? I want to negotiate. You're fired. Next. You think I'm kidding? So,
you're going to get fired on account of everything you say right now, because they're going to be mad at you.
I'm not going to get fired. I'm not lying. I'm not even saying it's being done in a malicious way. It's just kind of the way this business is. This business has not grown up. It has not gotten past this feudal thinking in 60 years. 60! I didn't say 20. 60! We're still doing business the same stupid, stumblebum, huckleberry way in radio. Bunch of freaking huckleberry hicks. And the only guy that's getting fat is maybe one or two, and the rest of us are standing around like dumbasses. And I got all these friends of mine, and I love them, and I respect them, and they're all, hey, man, and they're writing articles about social media, and they are lost. Hey, here's how to make your show better. Dude, it doesn't make any, I'll make my show better, I appreciate that. We got to start talking about other stuff. Make my show better? I went to a trade meeting in New York. It was a group of broadcasters. It was all of us together. And there were a lot of cats there that I respect. Randy Rhodes was there, and Lionel was there, and Roger Hedgecock was there, and some of the guys from WOR were there, and Rusty Humphries was there, and Bill Handel, all these guys that I know and respect. And we could have sat down at that meeting and talked about, now, how are we going to rework the economics of this situation as talent, as people that are on the air? What are we going to do to try to look out for ourselves? Do you think we did that? No. What did we do? We all started arguing politics. Because this guy's a right-winger, and that guy's a left-winger, and this guy's a... And let's start arguing. We'll start doing our shows for each other.
Yeah, you told me about that, man. That was weird.
Weird? It was bizarre. We're sitting there arguing our politics with each other, man. Like, I got to do my show for this guy. Like, he doesn't already know, right? What we ought to be talking about is our business. All right, anyway, I'm going to take a break here.
And you're, yeah, but what if they fire you?
For what, bud? Get out of here. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What's that, Mr. Hall? Yes, David?
Yeah, you're fired.
Thank you. All right, he's kidding. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. A lot of news to get to. Heather Locklear is okay. Madonna, she thinks Lady Gaga is to gag for. We'll be right back, tell you all about it on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's a bitch. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show here. We got I think it's an interesting story here about Madonna and what...
Get David Hall.
Oh, for God's sake.
He just wants to.
Yeah, David.
Didn't you knew I was going to call, right?
What do you got a call about, man?
Phil, look, I don't want to... Let's calm down, okay?
What do you got a call about?
Let's calm down.
What do you got a call about?
Would you just calm down more?
What do you got a call about?
I'm sorry, a little bit more.
What do you got a call about?
Just whisper.
Get out of here, will you? Whisper.
Instead, he want to talk to you.
Is that... What, David, I'm not whispering, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you. When you start taking these people on, you don't know what you're fooling with. You don't know how powerful they are. You're suddenly laying out the game. You're letting everybody know what the game is. You're making them look stupid. You're making them look like a bunch of clowns. Phil, you're dealing with things and you're messing with things that could blow right up in your face.
What is this? Some John Grisham novel or something? I'm talking about business.
Sure, you're talking about business. Love to believe you're talking about business. Everybody out there believes you're talking about business. I think you're talking about business. But the people that are way, way up, way, way up, those are the ones that are hearing you, and they're hearing a guy that's out of line. A guy that's not on the team. A guy that's not on board. And you know what happens when you're not on board?
No, what happens?
Phil, don't be a jackass. Yeah.
What happens with a guy that's not on board?
Huh?
Oh, will you bug off?
I don't know.
A guy that's not on board. What's he mean about that?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't let it worry you.
Well, I'm not going to let it worry me, but...
Yeah, forget about it. He's kidding.
You were the guy a minute ago that said I was going to get fired.
I was just joking.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. You were joking. And what are you looking at?
Nothing, man. Nothing. I think everything's going to be okay.
Get him back on the phone.
Phil, I swear to...
Get him back on the phone!
David Hall.
David, it's Phil.
Ain't you got a show to do?
Yeah, I had a show to do until you came jumping in with this, hey, those guys upstairs. Now, what are you talking about?
Just don't mess with stuff you don't know anything about. When you start messing with the way that a guy eats, where a guy gets his food from, you're messing with a guy's rice bowl. You can't mess with a guy's rice bowl, Phil. You see, you're...
Will you knock it off with this Glengarry Glen Ross? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you spilling the beans on iHeartRadio. I'm talking about you talking about how you're getting stiffed. I'm talking about you talking about how these guys are making dollars and you're making pennies. I'm talking about messing with a guy's rice bowl.
Dude, somebody's messing with my rice bowl.
What do you mean your rice bowl? I thought you didn't want to do the Glengarry Glen Ross. I was...
Okay, that's it. I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, but he's making some points.
Get him out of here. I don't want to talk to him anymore. Messing with my rice bowl. All right, Madonna not totally sharing the love with Lady Gaga. That's what we call her around here. Lady Gaga has been, she's been upfront about her admiration for Madonna, but does Madonna share the love? Hell no. She thinks that Lady Gaga is a disgusting pile. No, I'm kidding. Is she sharing the love? Well, the Material Girl sounded lukewarm in U.S. interviews released on Friday, calling her influence on Gaga's music, quote, interesting and amusing, sometimes. I certainly think she references me a lot in her work, and sometimes I think it's amusing and flattering and well done. She was talking to ABC News. There's a lot of ways to look at it. I can't really be annoyed by it because obviously I've influenced her, the pop star told ABC. She continued to tell ABC and no one else. The comparisons between the two divas, both known for combining provocative stunts with catchy dance pop hits, came to a head when Gaga released her Born This Way single last February. The song was instantly likened to Madonna's 1989 hit Express Yourself. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because it was the same melody.
Yeah, I think it did.
Why is that? Anyway, when I heard it on the radio, I said, that sounds very familiar, Madonna said. Asked if that felt annoying, Madonna responded, it felt reductive. Pressed by ABC interviewer Cynthia McFadden whether that was good or bad thing, Madonna said, why don't you look it up? Hey! It's a good answer, Madonna. Oh, we got to take a break? All right. We'll be back with more on this Falderall and Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is, and Madonna is, you know, And meanwhile, they're making dollars and I'm making pennies. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
You do it. Don't you step into a guy's rice bowl.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It is our news and information hour. We do have a report from Key West, Florida tonight. Bob Bakian standing by in our news van and news air services in Key West, Florida for a special report. It is not exactly breaking news, but let's get to Bob Bakian there in Key West. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and thank you. We are not exactly in Key West, Florida, Phil. We are reporting tonight from Miami, where we have returned from the Keys, where 81-year-old Gene Hackman this afternoon, Phil. And when I say this afternoon, I mean Friday afternoon. Gene Hackman struck by an automobile while he's riding his bicycle. But I can tell you, Phil, that Gene Hackman is going to be all right. And I'm not hearing the stinger music.
I'm sorry?
I don't hear the music. And I've been...
Is this the guy that can't talk right?
He doesn't know how to talk unless he hears the news music.
I'm not allowed to talk right.
Okay, Bob, hold on for a minute. What is this, anyway? God can't talk right unless you put the music on. I didn't know that. Why doesn't somebody tell me? Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Phil. We are in Miami tonight, Phil, reporting on Gene Hackman, 81-year-old Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman is all right. He's resting comfortably in a hospital in the Keys. But apparently Gene Hackman was struck by an automobile guy to Pavabakandabit.
Well, get the music.
I gotta re-cue.
Music's gotta re-cue.
What do you mean it's gotta re-cue? Put the other card up. Hold on, Bob. This is the most balled up thing I've ever heard of in my life.
David.
Yeah, David.
What's going on? You got Bakian on there?
Yes.
Well, he sounds like he's got a mouthful of you-know-what. And I'm telling you right now, I've already got the FCC breathing down my neck. Tell him to quit talking. What? Shut up, Bakian. Every time you talk, people think you got...
Will you just cut him off? Dump that. Get the music, will you? There. God.
Well, Bob, thank you, Phil. Thank you very much, Phil. I can tell you that without playing that music, you make me sound like a complete ass. A 24-karat gold-plated ass. I'll never forget. Gene Hackman today was...
Hold on for a minute, Bob. It's not my fault, okay? What I was... I didn't know, and I apologize. I know we have to have your music playing.
Oh, got a little bleep.
Oh, God. Put the music...
Phil, I understand, but you still are making me look like a real ass, like the wrong end of a horse backing out of a barn. Bob Bakian here in Florida, as Gene Hackman was airlifted to a Miami hospital and released...
Gotta re-cue.
But if you say the word re-cue one more time, I'm gonna physically assault you. I don't care if we're on the air. I know it's gonna re-cue.
You won't make a re-cue.
Will you guys... Bob, are you there? But everybody just get on hold.
What happened to you, man?
What happened to me? What happened to me? What happened to me? All I know is I had to go to Bakian in Miami because of Gene Hackman. And the next thing I know, then I got David Hall on the line who's reading me the riot act about something. You guys are going to have to, I don't know, somewhere along the line. Yeah, David.
You realize what this sounds like? It sounds like you're doing a feature for that the guy that plays guitar for Van Halen. What's the guy?
The hell is he talking about?
Eddie Van Halen.
The guy that lost part of his tongue. Now, Phil, I can tell you...
Okay, don't put his call through at all. Get Bakian back on the line. Let's fire it. Okay. Phil Hendry now. Let's go to Bob Bakian in Miami. Bob?
Thank you very much, Phil. I guess there's not really much to retrieve from this bit. I still sound like a gold-plated ass. Thank you, Phil Hendry. Gene Hackman was riding without a helmet on an Islamadora street around 3 p.m. when a pickup truck hit him, throwing him onto a grassy shoulder, according to Florida Highway Patrol report. No charges were immediately reported. During a career that has spanned five decades,
okay, here's what I want you to do.
Wait, you got to get him back on for the report on Gene Hackman.
Not putting anybody back on for a report. Number one, get rid of him.
No, you can't get rid of Bob Bacon. You have him forever.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him until he has what's ever wrong with him fixed, okay?
What's wrong with him?
What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Is that what you're asking me, what's wrong with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know he has a little problem.
He messes his words up once in a while.
Oh, yeah, just once in a while. No, he's great. He's fantastic. He's a perfectly functioning human being as long as I got this playing underneath him. I bet you this guy needs this when he goes to the bathroom. Get rid of him. Number two, put an ad in the trades. Put an ad in any kind of a newspaper you can think of. I don't care if you put it in the recycler. I don't care if you stick it under the windshield wipers on people's cars. I want a professional remote news reporter for our show. Okay? Number three, don't ever put David through again, bud, when we're dealing with situations like this.
Yeah, but you know what?
Don't talk. Don't talk. Don't ever put David through again when we're dealing with situations like this. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, of all of the things... What?
Gotta finish the report.
And that's what we know about Gene Hackman, Phil.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask you a question, okay?
Don't you dare pull that music down.
I'm not pulling any music down. What is this with you?
What's what with me?
You got it. Turn the music up, man.
What's what with me?
Just what happened right there, if you don't have this music.
Sir, I'm a news reporter. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I do remote news.
Of course I've noticed it.
All right. When I do remote news, as any news reporter would know, I've got to have my music. I've got to have my stinger music, my eyewitness news music.
Okay, that's fine. I know that it sounds better when you have that...
No. It doesn't sound better. I can't do the report without it. I don't function as a normal human being without it. Call it weird, call me a mutation, but I am so heavy into the radio news thing, I must have music, I must have the sound of traffic, I must have the sound of helicopter blades, and I must be on a bad phone. I'm Bob Bakey, and
don't sign off yet, okay?
Well, that's what I do. I always sign off.
How about when you say goodbye to your wife in the morning?
I sign off. I told him to go.
Turn the music. Bud, don't let the music stop.
I always sign off.
You sign off with your wife in the morning when you're going to work.
That's right.
Can you give me an example?
I'm Bob Bakian. I love you. And then I turn, then I wheel on one heel. I always wheel around and head out to the car.
Now, is there music playing then?
Yes, there is. I have it on an iPod.
There's an iPod.
That's right. So I've got it playing in my headphones, and I say to my wife, her name is Carolyn. I say, Carolyn, I'm Bob Bakian. I love you. Good day to you. And then I wheel on. I guess it sounds kind of weird, but that's how I live.
That's how you live?
Yeah. I know I'm a freak. Look, I got no special problem, Phil. Now, to you, I'm a big, ugly freak, and I look like a slob. But I was almost the heavyweight champion of the...
All right, I got the whole thing from Requiem for it. Thanks very much, Bob.
Wait a minute. I just want to tell you, Bob Bakian, Phil Henry Show, move.
God, what a sick animal.
Yeah, man, he's been living like that his whole life.
That's why if you fire Bob Bakian, he won't know what to do.
All right, I understand.
Yeah, you got to have some compassion, you fellow man.
Yeah, sure, man. I'll have some compassion. I'll have compassion. You bet, man. I'll have compassion for my fellow. I'm the only guy in the whole business that would have compassion for that. I'll have it. That's fine. You know.
Don't act all resentful about it.
Hey, bud, don't start lecturing me, okay? I'm the one guy in the whole freaking business that's got a cat who's doing news reports for him that can't talk right unless he's got bed music playing.
But even he can't talk right.
Oh, come on. Every time the music fades out, he's like...
Yeah, it does sound kind of jacked up. But he's pretty good when the music playing.
Oh, yeah. I bet you he's a, you know, solid gold human being when he's got music playing. I mean, I'm laughing. You know, I shouldn't say this. It's kind of crude. But, I mean, has he got kids?
Yeah, he's got two kids, right?
Yeah, he's got a son and a daughter.
He's got a son and a daughter.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't want to be crude, but how exactly was he able to conceive?
Probably, he probably had the headphones on.
Oh, that's great. He must have the most patient wife in the world. He's got the most patient wife in the world. He's saying, I love you, honey. Bob Bacon, he signs off. He doesn't tell her that he's leaving. He just signs off. Does he sign off when he's making love to her?
How do I know, man? I'm not asking a bunch of personal questions like that.
All right. I'm just wondering. He's wearing headphones when he's making love to his wife, so he's got this playing. I mean, what the hell, man? How does he talk to her?
What do you want me to do, man? I'll go in and record it?
Don't you guys ever ask these questions?
No, man. I got other stuff I got to think about.
You never... All right. I'm telling you right now. You know, to quote Slim Pickens and Dr. Strangelove, I've been to two World's Fairs and a 4th of July picnic, and I had never heard anything like that before in my life.
Well, man, first time pivoting.
Give me that Gene Hackman story. Give me that thing, man, so we can finish it. People are out there going, what the hell's happening to Gene Hackman? And I got a guy going, blue, 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 if he doesn't have his music playing. So anyway, folks, the story is Gene Hackman, he's fine. Mr. Hackman, a terrific actor. By the way, an ex-Marine. Well, I guess you're never an ex-Marine, right?
No, man. You always remember the Brotherhood.
All right. A former, you know, active Marine, Gene Hackman, an Oscar winner, was briefly hospitalized with bumps and bruises on Friday after a pickup truck hit him from behind while he was riding a bicycle in the Florida Keys. The 81-year-old Hackman was airlifted to a Miami hospital and released several hours later after routine tests, according to publicist Susan Madore. Hackman was riding without a helmet.
You can't do that.
That's right. He's riding without a helmet on Isla Madura Street around 3 p.m. Now, where the hell was this? Isla Madura. That is Miami, isn't it? Around 3 p.m. I don't know where they say the Keys. Anyway, when a pickup truck hit him, throwing him onto the grassy shoulder, according to the Florida Highway Patrol, no charges were immediately reported. During a career that spanned 5 decades, Hackman has won 2 Academy Awards. He's been nominated for 3 others. He took the Best Actor trophy for his portrayal of Jimmy Papa Doyle in The French Connection in 1971 and the Best Supporting Actor Award for Unforgiven in 1992. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his breakthrough role as Buck Barrow, Clyde Barrow's brother in Bonnie and Clyde. That's when I first saw him, you know.
I thought that was one of the first movies.
No. I saw a really crappy movie he was in called The Hawaiians or something. And then I saw that Poseidon Adventure. That sucked. I didn't like it. Some people might like it. But in any event, no, but when he played that Bonnie and Clyde, that thing was, he knocked that out of the park. And he also, and this was another great film. A lot of people don't know this movie. I Never Sang for My Father is the name of the movie in 1970. And for Mississippi Burning in 1988. Besides the Oscars, Hackman has won 3 Golden Globes and 2 BAFTAs.
What's that?
BAFTA, I think, is the British.
Yeah, that's the British Academy of Film and Television Academy.
The British Academy of Film and Television Academy, okay.
That's what they call it.
No, they don't call it that.
You got to be called something else. You got to say Academy twice.
That's what all I'm telling you what I know. British Academy of the Film and Television Academy.
How about the British Association of Film and... Give me that. The British Academy of the Film and Television Association. I don't know what the hell it is. Anyway, Hackman is also widely known for playing Superman's archenemy Lex Luthor. That guy was a riot, Matt. You see that?
Uh-uh.
That was funnier than hell. When he played Lex Luthor, it was beautiful. He played a great Lex Luthor. So anyway, Gene Hackman's fine, 81 years of age. You're riding around without a helmet there, Mr. Hackman. Bad things happen. Glad that you're doing better, sir. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show wrapping up here, our final segment. We come back, and philhenryshow.com, get a backstage pass. Oh, I almost forgot. You can register to win a free month of our website, a free backstage pass. All you have to do is hashtag at our Twitter account, the Twitter show account, twitter.com/PhilHenryShow, hashtag the name Phil Henry, or... like our fan page on Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. Go on over there and like our fan page. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back, and this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to remind you that I don't want to beat it into the ground, but, you know, we don't want you to miss a really good show, and it's a great one. It's Napoleon Dynamite on Fox at 8:30, and I'm not getting paid to say this stuff. I want to plug it because I am a guest star feature, whatever, in all six episodes of Napoleon Dynamite this season. And it's cool. And, you know, I was just saying to Dan, the producers, Jerusha and Jared, who produced this show, they're from Idaho. And Trey Parker and Matt Stone are from Colorado. And I'm saying, what is it about the Rocky, you know, up there in the high mountain air, man? These really funny people, you know?
Must be like you and Daryl Sanders, the isolation.
Yeah, they probably go like flip out and go all weird and everything.
Well, I don't think I'm going weird or anything, but maybe it is that... It was like when I lived in Minneapolis, and there was a period there in Minneapolis. When I was in Minneapolis, I was there in the early 90s, and Prince was already, you know, a big star. And the Jayhawks, Husker Du, Soul Asylum, there were all these bands out of all of a sudden coming out of Minneapolis, you know?
I never heard of none of them.
Yeah, I know Prince.
Well, all right, these were bands. They were kind of indie bands that scored some hit records and were very, very popular out of Minneapolis, okay? You listen to me? Not Indianapolis.
What's the difference?
One town's in Indiana, the other's in Minnesota.
Duh, man.
Well, why did he call it like that?
I don't know, bud. Anyway, you know, I wondered about that, and the guy said... Well, what else are you going to do in the wintertime, man, in Minnesota when there's snow up to about 90 feet outside? You can't go out. You can't do anything. You're sitting inside with a guitar, you know.
Yeah, all you're doing is writing music, huh?
That's it. All you're doing is writing songs with your friends and forming bands and playing in the garage. So, yeah, the weather has... But, you know, it's not just the weather because there's music from all kinds of places and all kinds of comedy. What is it about Toronto, Canada?
I was wondering about that. They have funny people come out of there all the time.
There's a lot of funny cats that come out of Canada. Specifically, out of Toronto and Hamilton, Ontario, is where the Martin and Michael Short are from. Michael is the writer and Martin the performer, you know. And I believe Dan Aykroyd is a Canadian, right?
Well, I don't know about, yeah. I mean, John Candy is.
John Candy was, yeah. John Candy was a Canadian. And, of course, Second City, those were all Canadian performers, right? Eugene Levy and Andrea Martin, and that was when they said Second City. That wasn't the Second City in the United States that we know. That was Second City Toronto, but that was a TV show.
Well, what are you talking about in the United States?
The famous Second City Theater in America is in Chicago, and Bill Murray and those cats came out of there. And then there's another theater in Chicago called the Steppenwolf, which is more dramatic.
But that was also a band, too. They come out with Magic Carpet Ride, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
No, you dumbass. He's talking about...
Come on, watch out. Call him a dumbass. I'm not talking about the band. I'm talking about Steppenwolf is a theater, okay?
It's also a book.
Yeah, because I told you it was a book. Anyway, get sidetracked with his stuff. So, yeah, really funny people from Toronto, okay? And then, of course... There again, we find Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you not only have great music, but there was a lot of funny stuff coming out of Minnesota in the late 80s and into the early and mid-90s. Like Mystery Science Theater 3000, if I'm not mistaken, that was on... Well, I know it was out of St. Paul. And it was at one time... Was it a public access or something?
Well, I think they said public access. I think that was produced pretty good, so maybe it's just on an independent TV station.
Maybe, yeah, because you're right. The production value, of course, if they're doing public access, man, it didn't necessarily mean they had the greatest production value. But that was from Minnesota. So really funny people coming from up in that neck of the woods, you know. And then, of course, it's to me, it's just fascinating where things begin and where things sort of where the creative pockets in America are, and in North America, and how it changes from time to time, you know. And so anyway.
They're pretty funny people in California, though.
Yeah, there's funny people in California, but here's the thing. I mean, everybody comes to California from somewhere else, you know.
What about you?
I'm the only native-born funny guy from L.A. No, I'm kidding. I'm from California, so I'm one of the few. And me and Brody Stevens. All right! Yeah!
Steven Brody Stevens.
Yeah. Steven Brody Stevens. He's from the San Gabriel Valley. He's from the San Fernando Valley. I'm from the San Gabriel Valley. The only two native-born funny guys in California. All right. Anyway, guys, we'll see you tomorrow night for our... tonight at 7 for our KFI show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. The Phil Henry Show is produced by myself and my very good friend Dan Northcraft. And don't forget to visit our Phil Henry Show website shop. We've got all kinds of fun things there for Valentine's Day and beyond. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. See you tonight for the video cast. And remember, Monday night we're off. We'll be back Tuesday night. Monday it is Martin Luther King's birthday.
Phil Henry.